Hello. So this is the Library Talker, also Library Lady. I'm Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So I actually went to a bookstore and got books. And I tend to get books and then they sit on a shelf and I never read them. They are on my TBR. And then I'm like, my Kindle's with me everywhere. I can just take this and I can take my NetGalleys and So I tend to not really always read the books. I have many on the shelf that are TBRs, but I got a pile of books and I was like, I'm determined I'm actually going to read these books. They will not go on the bookshelf until I've actually read them. So they sit on a pile on the dining room table, haunting me. And so I'm on my second one right now. But the first one that I did was a book called Go Hex Yourself by Jessica Clare. I read an actual paperback book. It's been so long and my thumbs and my fingers were like, what the heck am I doing holding this like this? I don't understand. So I may have to get one of those grip thingies that you stick in the side, on your thumb to hold the pages open, instead of, just burning things out the way I was doing because it was getting sore. Anyway, Go Hex Yourself by Jessica Clare is about, kind of a, it's a supernatural paranormal thing. Basically, we have our main character, Reggie, who applies for a job that she found in an ad in the newspaper, and basically she's immediately given the job, but she kind of doesn't believe the people who have hired her, the fact that the woman who's in charge of the household seems to be like a dotty old lady, and of course is also a witch. And our character, Reggie, just didn't believe in witchcraft. She was responding to the ad because it was mentioning Spellcaster, which apparently is a card game that she absolutely kills at and really adores, kind of like a Magic the Gathering or that kind of thing. And so she's really good at this card game. So she thought she was going to be an assistant to someone who worked on the card game, and then that would be just super cool. But it turns out when they were looking for a spellcaster, they were looking for a spellcaster. So they were looking for someone to be a familiar, and I've not heard of familiars used in this way. To me, a familiar is always an animal, a creature, like a cat or a bat or something that someone that is bonded to a witch or warlock. That's what I think of a familiar. Usually one that communicates with them or can provide them with, some magical backup or something like that. But in this case, in this story, in this set, a familiar is a human who has spellcasting abilities but is not there yet. Maybe never will become a witch or a warlock, but does contain kind of the juice that's needed for a witch or a warlock to kind of power spells without tiring themselves out. So familiars are kind of like the assistants, the PAs, and then also like the human batteries for spells. So Reggie is supposed to be the familiar to this dotty old woman who has a nephew who doesn't want this non-witch person, and how dare she, and she can't come in here, and she's just gonna wreck everything, and all kinds of stuff. It's gonna be horrible. And of course they immediately are a little acrimonious towards each other, and he's a bit of a crank, and everybody in the witch warlock world is either hates him or afraid of him or both. So he's kind of not got a lot of friends and has a hard time dealing with people, but she's the first person who ever bites back, basically. And so of course there's the whole intrigue over time, and for some reason he just can't get past her freckles. Especially in the beginning, oh my gosh, her freckles. I just can't stop thinking about her freckles. Why can't I stop thinking about her freckles? I have other things to do. That kind of stuff. So it has its little cute romantic tropes. I will say by the end it gets a little racy, kind of a lot racy, but it just kind of like gets tacked on at the end. And I'm not quite sure why it was even included when it didn't seem to fit in terms of the rest of the story. Like, the rest of the story was so tame, like 80% of the thing, and maybe even 90%. And then you get to the very end, and all of a sudden we're getting, like, really racy and slightly pornographic. And it's kind of like, I don't understand why that went in that direction. It didn't need to. It, you know, it's like putting in a sex scene in a movie just to try and get more views. And it didn't really necessarily have to serve the story. The way it was descripted and everything, it was just not super helpful. But the story itself is cute-ish. It has a few good moments, especially when she finally realizes that magic truly, truly is real by a spell that turns her into a cat. like, okay, now I believe. Now it's not just a dotty old woman who's just pretending or thinking that she's a witch and everybody else is feeding into her fantasies that she's growing into dementia. No, she really is a witch. She's a 2,000-year-old witch with a 500-year-old nephew. Yeah. So it has its ups and downs. It has its some cute moments in there. It has other things that are kind of interesting, but it also has a few things that's kind of like, wait, what? Like at one point very in the story, it is basically pointed out that a familiar has to wear a mage's cuff. That is identified, you know, every other witch and warlock who sees it can know who that cuff belongs to, basically, and knows who you're bonded to as the familiar. So she has to wear a cuff for this dotty old lady, right, this witch. And later on when things happen and they need a little magical backup, she has to put on the nephew's cuff on her other arm. But then it's suddenly revealed that once you put the cuff on and it activates, if you ever take it off, you can never put it back on again. And so now she's got two cuffs and two people that she's the human battery for. But she had been taking over for a familiar who had gotten pregnant through a bad spell and was married, but the pregnancy was kind of an oops. And so it was, you know, she was supposed to be a temp. And then, no, never mind, you can't be a temp because you're wearing the cuff and now it's permanent. With the idea being, well, it was the other familiar probably had to remove her cuff because wouldn't there just be one cuff, right? One person, one familiar. So she had probably had to remove the cuff. And so now the previous familiar can never be the familiar again. But then later on, oh no, she actually had a second cuff and it was hidden. She had pushed hers up so nobody could see it because Dottie Old Lady wasn't ever really intending to keep Reggie as her permanent familiar and didn't want anybody to know it. So it just kind of got like a little confused. Like, oops, my logic was slipping over here and I messed up, so this is how I have to correct it. And maybe it was intentional and maybe I'm just reading it wrong. But that's what I was seeing. I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And I will say you get to a point where suddenly there's an attack or kind of an attack and we have to do something to solve it and figure it out and who did, you know, the whodunits and everything. And I have to say that was unsatisfying, I guess. That part of it, the way it resolved, the way it's, you know, the started was, ooh, oh my God, who would have done this? But the resolution was like, are you kidding me? And it, you know, you could think to yourself, oh, that was cute. Okay, never mind. It was a little awkward and everything, but oh, it was so cute. But for me, it was like, no, are you kidding me? That was your resolution to this issue, that this happened. And just like, I was frustrated by that, and not pleased. I was not like, wow, that was awesome. It just didn't come off that way. It came off as, really? That? Really? Really? So I was not not super jazzed about that ending on there in terms of that resolution. But in terms of the relationship, it was a lot of show, not tell, which I really appreciated. You could really watch that relationship between Reggie and Ben develop. Yes, I was going through and looking at Goodreads, and apparently some people believe this is a Raylo fanfic type of thing, and I can get that from Ben and Reggie, from the names themselves. I can get that this might be Raylo-ish fanfic, but I'm just going to stay away from that in the sense that I have not read other Raylo fanfic. I just can kind of assume. But looking at this on its own, it has some merits. It has some cuteness. It has some good moments. It also has some that wasn't thought out very well moments. Or that, you know, I don't know who thought that was logical, but moments. And some of it just kind of seemed like either stretched to extend the novel itself or to force some moments. But like, there's a moment where she has to go down into a well because she's looking for something, and it ends up being completely worthless in most senses. The only thing that it serves as is a point in time to get them closer. But in the end, plot-wise, it really does nothing in terms of advancing the mystery plot or trying to solve the mystery thing that they had going on that they were trying to solve. It led to nowhere. And I understand, yes, in real life, there are a lot of places where this could be something and they go there and like, nope, nothing there. That was just a waste of our time, but at least we've eliminated that, you know? So I kind of get it, but it didn't quite fit. The magic is interesting. Some of the stuff that they discuss is interesting. The idea that, they're witches who basically, you know, their bread and butter is curses. Or at least his bread and butter is curses. They all do curses. They can be minor curses. They can be major curses. And the curses are, anything, you know, like from, oh, look, he had an allergic reaction to something that he was never even near, to, you know, corporate espionage and destroying someone's company and that kind of stuff. So, and the way the curses are is apparently you have to carve or put them on a lead tablet or some sort of tablet that's going to last, but lead seems to be what their favorite is. And then you have to hide the tablet. Because if the tablet's ever broken, the curse is broken. So, you know, they curse each other all the time. All the witch and warlock families just curse you, curse you, curse you, curse you. Where's the curse? What's the curse? How do you... And so at points it's like, now because you're all talking about cursing and everything, there are moments where it's like, she's really extra dotty right now. Is that a curse? Well, this happened. Is that a curse? And so as the reader, you're like, was that a curse? That wasn't. And so you start to see curses everywhere you're going in the story when there's almost none. So, you know, heads up on that one. You're going to see a ton of curses discussed and you're going to think that they're everywhere, but apparently they're not. Or if they are, nobody thinks about it and goes, oh, well, that might could be, you know, like the reader's thinking these are curses, but nobody else in the book is thinking it's a curse. So for me, it was like, because they talked about curses so much, I was just starting to see them everywhere when they really weren't, I guess, there. So Reggie and Ben, nice little spark, good developed story in terms of their relationship, the way they built that, way Jessica Clare built that relationship was fairly realistic and could work. I mean, granted, yes, they're witches and warlocks and spells and magic and all the other stuff, but in terms of the relationship building, that was natural. That worked. That wasn't a tell versus show. That was really shown well, developing kind of that, the spark against them and then the spark between them. And kind of showing how they came to respect each other. That That actually was done pretty well. But the rest of the story kind of... So in my readings, for those anybody who hasn't listened to me before, and I'm assuming that's a lot of you because I don't have a lot of listeners, but thank you for those of you who are here. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. For the rating system, one being avoid. This is the most horrible thing ever. You'll lose hours and time on your life and it'll destroy you. To 5, this is the most amazing thing ever. 2 being eh, 3 being eh, and 4 being huh. This is a 3. It has moments that are 4-ish, but it also has a couple of moments that are kind of 2-ish. So overall, rounded out, it's a 3. Go Hex Yourself by Jessica Clare, and it is out in bookstores. I got it on a buy one, get one half off deal at Barnes & Noble. Don't know how long that'll last, if it's even at this point anyway. But it had a pretty little sticker on it, so yay. It was a little cheap, quick book. And so for what it was pretty good. It wasn't like the most amazing book ever, but it was a nice little purchase. And I don't necessarily regret it, so yay. But yeah. There we go. If you have any suggestions for me, if you have anything that you'd like to tell me, if you have any comments, I would really love to hear it. Again, thank you for listening to this podcast and to any of my others. I really appreciate that as well. Again, you can find me at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm also the Library Lady on Podomatic. I hope you guys have a really good day.